This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
alone, my redemption. When we sang a lot of hallelujah songs this morning, and my sermon is titled The Hallelujah Life. So I feel like you're on the right track. Yes, that last song, we just said hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we want to just close our eyes this morning before we just spend some time in the Word, Lord. We just want to affirm that you are God, that you are good, that you are our Master, our King. We want to just go back to that place of worship and that attitude that we had a while ago and just say, Lord, you are good. We want to worship you, Lord God. We ask, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and just to convict us, Lord. Do what the Word says you do. You convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. Father, draw us close to you, Lord, so that Jesus can really save and redeem and make new in our hearts, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah means to praise Yah or Yahweh. It means in Hebrew to praise God, but to boast in God in joyful song. It means a lot of things. It also... Hi, Pepper Guy. It's good to see you. I haven't seen him in a while. It also means... It refers to someone that in the praising and in the doing and in the boasting in God, it can also refer to someone who acts madly or foolishly. And that reminded me of David dancing in the streets in 2 Samuel 6. We see David bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem and he's dancing like a crazy thing, losing his clothes. His wife thinks he's indignified and God takes David's side. And that's what I want to talk to us today. I want to talk, me included, is our hallelujah moments. David had a hallelujah moment there. So excited about God and who God is and just loving him in the extreme, adoring him so much that he doesn't care what happens to him. He's just going crazy. He had a hallelujah moment. And I want to challenge us today and ask us, do we still have those moments where nothing else matters, but just you giving glory to God, your heart so full of adoring God, just, you know, I don't know, sometimes when you drive in the car and that worship song comes on and the kids ask to put it louder and then all the people next to you and the robots, they look at you and what do? Do you make it louder or do you just, you know, sit quietly? Just, you know, a hallelujah moment, you will just continue worshiping God. You don't care what people think. We don't care what they say. We just love the Lord. And do we have those moments often? And why not if we don't have them? Do you have them on Sundays when we worship God together? Do you have a moment where you just don't care about people, where it's just you and God? I trust that God will inspire us to worship him from our hearts so that we can live not just hallelujah moments, but hallelujah lives. You know, sometimes people say, those Christians that take it too far. I take that as a compliment. I haven't heard that in a while, but my people say that of me. Your honest people say that of you all the time. Praise the Lord. He takes it too far. He's too out there for the Lord. He's crazy for God. God, he's going to stand before the Lord one day, not before us. Okay, so I want us to go home today with a cry in our hearts and say, Lord, I want to live a hallelujah life. Okay, the problem with the world today, I didn't say this, there's lots of problems with the world. Some people think it's the president, our president, other presidents. Some people think it's the internet. There's lots of things. G5, that's coming. Climate change, economy, you can imagine, sinful human nature. But we had a systematic theology, a doctor, not a professor, it doesn't really matter. He was a teacher of systematic theology. And he said, Dr. Cron, James Cron, he said, the problem with the world today is worship. It's not sin, it's our worship. And I'm going to explain to us why did he say that? Because I was also like, what does that mean? What does it mean to say the problem with the world is our worship? Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not all these things, eating, drinking, politics, etc. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because we all look for righteousness and peace and joy. We just often look for it in places that is not the Holy Spirit. I mean, so Dr. Curran said, sin is not the problem, it's our worship. Why is that the problem? Let's just quickly, just to indulge my academic heart, and then I'm just going to preach. Just to quickly look at just worship in the Bible. I'm just going to little teaching. Where does it happen? It happens everywhere because the heavens declare the glory of God. And I think that's why if we spend half a day in nature, we all feel closer to God. The creation testifies of God's glory, and we just want to testify with. So if you struggle to connect to the Lord, just go to the mountains. Just look at the sunset. Just take. You're not gonna. The sunsets on Pinterest and Instagram. It's not the real thing. I'm talking about the real thing. I must tell you. Last weekend we went to Jonkershoek. We went with the kids to walk. Yuda is now 4, so he can now walk 4 km. We're doing that now. And we came to the first waterfall. Who's been there first for the first one? And Simon, my 10-year-old, we were just standing there. It wasn't a particularly extravagant waterfall. It's just water trickling down. You've been there. It's not. I've seen better. But Simon, who's never seen something like that, I don't think, he was like, wow, this is amazing. I'm like, it's better than TV, hey? Because they watch National Geographic or whatever. But the screen pictures doesn't come to the real thing. So get into nature. Okay, it also in the Old Testament, where does worship happen? It happens in the tabernacle, in the temple. And it's corporate worship. We see that God says in Exodus 25, you bring your offerings, you come and worship me in the place that I have decided. And I've decided it's going to be, I'm going to honor my name in the tabernacle or in the temple. And that's where we're there. That's why so many times a year for the festivals, they go to the temple, they go to the tabernacle to worship there. And it's corporate worship. And then, interesting that David, when he went to fetch the Ark of the Covenant, which is the sign of God's presence, he took it from the tabernacle, or the tent that it was in, and he took it to Jerusalem, because that's where he's living. And he built a tent there, but it wasn't the tabernacle, it was just a tent that David built while he was waiting for Solomon, who's going to build the temple. And the sacrifices and the offerings continued in the other in the tabernacle. But the ark of God wasn't there anymore. And God didn't judge David for it. God was like, he's a man after my own heart. If the ark of the covenant represents my presence, he wants it right with him. He doesn't care about the tent that he's in. David lived a hallelujah life. It's like, I want God's presence. If it's going to take the ark, we'll take the ark. We're going to get it. We're going to live right next to it. Okay, so in the New Testament, we see today that God chooses to be worshipped and to dwell in the bodies of us, believers. Okay, so we have corporate worship. We come together. He commands us to come together to worship corporately, but then also to worship God and to be honored in our bodies. You all know the scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? This is the hard one. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. So I come back to, who do we worship? Yes, we worship God, the triune God, the God of the Bible. What does our worship look like on a Sunday? Is it just a part of the service where the 2 slow songs at the end? Or do we come in with an attitude of worship? Sometimes I'm really frustrated, and I'm so glad I have the mic today because I haven't been able to say it all year, and I'm preaching to the people who's not here during the year. But we start with worship on a Sunday morning, and people are making coffee and drinking and talking and running after their kids, and it's like a marketplace. And we want to worship God. So I want to ask us as a church, when we come together, do we come prepared to worship the Lord? Do we come prepared to lift Him up? And to just forget about our own lives and our own coffee addiction and our own everything. And to just lift Him up. And how does it look the rest of the week? How does your worship look on a Monday, on a Tuesday night, on a Saturday morning? Just for interest's sake, if we look at other faiths, the Muslims, they have a corporate prayer or their corporate gathering on a Friday at mosque, and the rest of the week, they have it quite a tall order. They have to pray 5 times a day. It's the second pillar of Islam. They have to face Mecca. They have specific, they kneel, they bow, they specific ways in which they have to pray to show their reverence. And that's a testimony of their faith. It's a test, and it also serves of a reminder of all the in-between times. You know, you can't go too far if in 2 hours' time you have to pray again. You know, you can't backslide too far. The same with the Jews. They have synagogue on a Friday night or a Saturday during Shabbat. They have to pray 3 times a day, or they should. Obviously, many Jews, many Muslims don't adhere to these practices or habits, but the same with us. Many Christians, we say that we worship God, but do we have worship habits that testify of this? And more importantly, habits that will inform all the in-between moments of our lives. Habits that I've built into my life that I know I can't backslide too far because I'm going to be worshiping God again. This is my habit. So I'm asking us, in those habits that we create for ourselves with the help of the Holy Spirit, because that's a wonderful thing about the Bible. The Muslims and the Jews, they have a very prescribed way. They have to sit like this. They have to stand like this. It's like rote learning almost. But the Bible is just full of options. There's just so many ways in which we can worship God. We go with the Holy Spirit and He leads us in those ways. In my house, I felt led. My children are not allowed to be jellyfish when we pray. Do you have jellyfish children? What is it? Do they only get like, does this only solidify when they're 20? It's like nobody has a backbone. So I'm like, use your own spine. We're sitting now on our knees. Now we pray. People say, but that's very legalistic. No, not in my house. I want to teach my children that when we pray, we come in our bodies look like we respect the Lord. I believe that somewhere the penny is going to drop, and that's what we do. Yes, when they're tired at night, we put them to bed, they lie down, we pray for them. But when we gather during the day, I expect them to show reverence to me or to God. Well, if they show reverence to me, it's also to God, you know, that's what the Bible says. So okay, so, but if those habits that we build in, that's going to lead us into hallelujah moments. Okay, what is our purpose in life? I love what the Westminster Catechism says. Many of you have heard this, but it's to glorify God. What is the chief end of man? Our purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Those of you who don't know what a catechism is, most of you are maybe too young. We used to have catechismus when I grew up. It's a summary of principles of the Christian religion in a form of questions and answers so as to educate people. Okay. It's good to teach children with questions and answers. Okay, so it's to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's a tall order. The Muslims only have to pray 5 times a day, but we have to do lots of things to glorify God. And we have to enjoy it while we're doing it. You know, my children, they've got lots of chores that they have to do. And if they don't do it with a good attitude, they don't get the reward that comes with the chores. So my dad also raised us like that. I'm not saying it's the law, but we worked in the pakstoer. We grew up on a farm during December. It was very hard work. You started at 6, you ended at 6, you had a lunch break, child labor. And we got paid for it. Not really well, but we got paid for it. Only if you did it joyfully. If you complained about your job, that's God saying, I want you to glorify me and to enjoy me forever. So we go to church on a Sunday. That's what we do, if we feel like it, or if there's not some other event, to corporately worship God. And during the week, each of us, we're commanded by the Bible authors, which is ultimately God, to do many things, to worship Him, to wait on God, to seek Him, to pray in our inner room, to pray together, to submit to one another, to lift up holy hands, to dress modestly, to sing to the Lord, to love each other, to build each other up. The list goes on and on and on. To make amends with one another, to intercede for the lost. And the Bible is not really a book of suggestions. I remember when I worked, some of you, my face is familiar because I used to be an actress and I worked at a well-known soap. They don't exist anymore. But my boyfriend in the story, the guy that I spent most days with because he was in all the scenes with me, and we fought a lot about because he said he was a Christian. And then I challenged him on his fluid morality because he also lived with his girlfriend and did a lot of things that I thought that Christians should be delivered from. And he explained to me, and I'm like, the Bible clearly says God's going to help you do this and that. And then he's like, no, the Bible doesn't work like that. The Bible is a book of suggestions. God suggests things to you, obviously going to be good for you if you follow it, but you can decide. He's not married today anymore. Didn't follow the suggestions. Someone asked Billy Graham, you know this quote maybe, if Christianity is valid, why is there so much evil in this world? Good question, to which he replied, with so much soap, why are there so many dirty people in the world? Christianity, like the Bible, like soap, needs to be personally applied, daily preferably, for it to work. Okay, so the authors of the Bible didn't intend the Bible to be suggestions either. In fact, every time when Paul writes something, and it's not a clear command from the Lord in his mind, he says it. He says, this is my idea. I don't have a clear command on widows, but this is my idea. But then I just go, well, God made it go into the Bible, so it was probably God's idea anyway, so we should not treat it as a suggestion. So all these things that we read about in the Bible, all these directions, these things the Holy Spirit convicts of, all of them are outward testimonies of our faith, but is it worship? Well, the answer, I believe, is it depends. It's the same when people ask, is sex sin? It depends. It's the same kind of thing. It depends. Jesus defines worship for us in John 4, 21 to 24. He says, he talks to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and he says, the time is coming when they will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. Because that was still the Old Testament. You worshipped him there where the tabernacle was, or the temple was. But the time is coming, and indeed it is near now, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So Jesus comes and defines true worship for us. And when he talks about true worship, that implies that there's also something like false worship. We can engage in worship that is not true. So how will we know that Jesus gives us the two things? First, we must worship in spirit. And I say that is a hard thing. We can worship God, we can sing, we can praise in church or at home in our private lives. But our heart cannot be there. We can come and sing songs, but our heart can be far from God. Like Jesus quoted Isaiah 29:13 when he said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. So we can engage in that kind of worship. The interesting thing is, I find that when my heart is with God, I come to church, I worship, I experience him, I lift him up, I hear from him, and when I go home, I continue. But when my heart is not with God, I don't continue it in my private life. Because nobody sees there. So I think that the issue maybe how much do we want Jesus? It's our private lives. We have a habit of worship at church, but do we have a habit of worship in our daily lives, in our private lives? If it's a hard thing, we will have habits at home. We will create habits at home. And if you don't, you will have a desire to create habits in your private life to worship God. If it's not a hard thing, we will just worship on a Sunday and go back home and we will engage in the habits that steal, kill, and destroy from us. We all have habits. Okay? So worship is a hard thing more than it is a song thing, a do thing, or a give thing. All those things that we do outwardly to practice our faith. But all those things that we do outwardly become worship if it comes from a heart that adores God. So if I extremely love Jesus, if I excessively want to honor him, if I cannot wait to be in his presence, then my giving, my serving, my amending, or my obedience to the word is then not out of fear, but it's out of love for God, and then it automatically becomes worship. That's why I say it depends. Because you can do all the Christian things, but it can just be religion. Or you can do the Christian things from a heart of adoration and love, and then it becomes worship. And that's what God seeks. A heart that worships him from spirit, out of our spirits. It reminds me of the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I'm going to put it up in my scullery. Colossians 3:23 says, work at whatever you do as if you are doing it for the Lord rather than for the people of God, for the people. Has any of you seen that little thing that went on WhatsApp about the woman that's cleaning the house all by herself? She's got pots and pans and she's just cleaning the house very loudly because she's the only one that cleans the house. Does anybody relate to that? It's just mothers who relate to that. You're not doing it for the Lord when you make so much noise cleaning. Then the second part of the how do we worship God? In spirit, it's a heart must be with God. It's in truth. And in truth, I call the heart thing. So when we worship in spirit, it's a heart thing. Our souls are with God. We love him from the inside. We adore him. But when we worship in truth, here comes the heart thing. Because if we worship falsely or fake, not in truth, then we worship, our worshiping can, we can worship, but we can worship a construct. We can worship something that is not God. We can worship a God that we have created. We can worship bits of God and shunning a part of God that we are not comfortable with. So when I talk about worshiping in truth, it means to worship God, the real God, the one that reveals himself in the Word. The bits, the God that you are not always comfortable with, it will not be the God of our Christian culture. He will be more fearsome, he will be more scary, he will be more loving, he will be more than the boxes we've put him in. And if we seek to worship the true God, and we seek to see Jesus and know him, then we will worship in truth. Now some of you will go, and your hearts are right, but you will go, how will I know that I'm not worshiping the wrong guy? How will I know it? I'm not in false worship? I've got, how will I know that I'm not Cain and I'm Abel? Because both of them worshiped God, but God knew the hearts. God knew Abel's heart was for him. There's good news, guys. Good news. John 16 verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So when your heart is with God and you worship in spirit, you need not worry because you will then seek to worship the real God. You will seek to worship the God of the Bible. You will not want to create a God to worship. You will not want to worship a little bit of God and not the judgment part. You will want to worship him in his totality. You will desire revelation from the Holy Spirit to worship him for who he is. And when he reveals another bit about himself that you didn't understand, you will rejoice in that. And you will, your life will just turn and change to become more like that because your heart is with God. So when the Holy Spirit is there, he will lead you into all truth. Religion thrives on dead worship. Like I said, worship is not just giving or serving or not reading your Bible or sticking to your digital Bible's verse of the day. Guys, a verse a day. Are we all on a diet? I saw that for years. I was like, I'm not doing a digital Bible. You have to have the real thing. You have to know where it is in your Bible. That digital thing, you just put in numbers and spits it out. But I now also have a digital Bible. It's very helpful. But when I open it the first time, it's like your verse of the day. And I was like, are we on a diet? And I'm not trying. I'm not trying to mock something that is genuine. I know for years, Angus, he used to take a verse a day. He would meditate on it. He would ingest it. He would apply it to his life like soap. It would cleanse him. So a verse a day is not bad. I'm just saying Really, we binge watch everything. But a verse a day. Let's challenge ourselves in 2020 and binge read the Bible. See what is going to happen. You might just experience radical change for the better. Because it's holiday now, I have more time. So I subscribe to a plan on my digital Bible. Professor Warner's 10 a day. It's 10 chapters a day from different books in the Bible. It's ridiculous. Who can ever keep that up? But guys, it's half an hour. How long does it take to watch a show? To read 10 chapters takes me half an hour. If you're a slow reader, it's going to take you 45 minutes. Still less time than a movie or a show. I've done it for 10 days. I cannot tell you how I'm experiencing the Lord in my life. This is not a worship habit. It's just reading the Word, a lot of the Word every day. I feel like Jesus is talking to me about so many things. I'm going to try and keep it up as much as I can. So I challenge you, just read more than a verse a day. It's going to change your life. It's just you're going to feel so close to Jesus because He is the Word. Surprise. Anyway, like I said, dead religion thrives on worshippers whose hearts are not with God, you know, are worshipping their own idea of God, not seeking truth. Okay, how do we know that we're not stuck in religion? We shall be known by our fruit, the fruit of the Spirit that is joy and peace and righteousness. Okay, so Richard Foster wrote a book. If you feel in your heart, yo, I want to create habits in my life, worship habits. I don't know how it looks. I don't know what to do daily. I'm not a singer. I remember we live in a community house, and it's beautiful for me to see how what other people do because I don't play an instrument. I do, but it's not going to worship the Lord necessarily. I don't sing like are comfortable with. So how do I worship the Lord? But I remember Debbie lived with us. Every day we would hear him playing his guitar. Just time apart with his wife and his child, he would just play his guitar. Siko lives with us. You always find her. She's like got habits in her life. Then she sits with the piano or she's in the garden. Nyameka, I can hear her singing in the mornings. And when she comes out of her room while she's making breakfast, she's still singing to the Lord. It's just wonderful to see, and there's another guy living with us. He also plays the guitar, but he doesn't play it often at home. But I see him. He's got worship habits in his life, where he comes apart. They don't do it in front of me, but we live in the same house, so, you know, the doors are just that thick. You kind of, you notice when someone is praying. My son, the last couple of, I don't know how long, when I hear him at night before he goes to bed, he prays loudly. It's such a blessing to me that he's building a habit into his life while he's lying in his bed, declaring that God is watching over us. And that's just a beautiful habit that he's cultivating. Okay, so but if you want to do this and you need help, Richard Foster wrote a book, The Celebration of Discipline. Disciplines mean something that we train ourselves to do to habitually enhance our quality of life and eternal destination. Like I said, some of us, how does it look? How does your worship habit look? We pray on our knees. I teach my children to worship. So every day before we homeschool, before we start school, we have a time of worship that we put songs on. You don't have to, surprise, surprise, you don't have to be insanely musically talented to download Spotify or put a CD in. You can worship the Lord any place. And if you don't have electricity, you can just do it with your voice. So we sing to the Lord daily. And yes, I'm training them and we're doing Umkarolis and Lente and we're doing all the kiddie songs. But those songs are anointed. Most of them are written right out of the Bible. So just habitually, one or two songs, I will just forget about the kids and focus on the Lord. That's a worship habit. Okay. Some of us teach our kids to worship daily. Some of us dance. Some of us write to Lord. If our heart is with Him, then everything you do, all your gifts and talents, will start flowing to worship God. Okay, and then hallelujah moments is going to start flowing in your life. Someone will come into your house and complain about a headache and you will just have a hallelujah moment and the headache will go. And your husband will come home from work and it would have been a terrible day. But because you've got worship habits in your life, it will just start, you will just have a hallelujah moment and encourage and uplift. And God's kingdom will just go wherever you go because you will live a hallelujah life. But I want to encourage you to build worship habits in your life so that the hallelujah moments can flow. What about idols? If we talk about worship, we must obviously talk about idols. I say no need. Because if Jesus gets honored above all else, if we love the Lord, Matthew 23, with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, and seek to worship him daily, there won't be idols. They will go. They will flee. If you put the light on, there's no struggle between the darkness and the light. It's just light. So if we seek the Lord, your idols will go. You will not want them anymore. You will find them lacking to produce righteousness, peace, and joy. Okay. So I want to leave us with these questions. Who are seated on the throne of this church when we come together? And if we feel for a moment, it's not Christ, it's us, don't run out the door. You focus on Christ. You bring Christ in. We are seated on the throne of our hearts. And if you feel this morning, I want that, I'm not there. Jesus says, if I'm not seated on the throne of your heart, whether you're my child or not, maybe you just, you know, pushed me off for a while, I don't go far. The Bible says he's standing at the door knocking. He's knocking this morning. Maybe he was on the throne yesterday, but last night you pushed him off because you couldn't watch that thing with Jesus on the throne. Jesus is like, he's not running out the door, I'm knocking. He says, I want to come in and do what? Give you a hiding. Who knows the word? I want to come in and have a feast with you. Acts 3 verse 19 says, repent therefore, be converted, so that times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Psalm 51 verse 2 is our last scripture. Lord, I want to pray this. Let's pray this together. Lord, I want to pray this over us, Lord. That you'll restore to us the joy of our salvation. And those of us who have not tasted salvation, Lord, that you will bring them the joy of salvation, the true joy that only your Spirit and Christ and the Father provides, Lord. Grant us, Lord, willing spirits. We sit here this morning, we say, Lord, we want to have worship habits. We want to have habits that will facilitate hallelujah moments. We want to live hallelujah lives like David did. We want to not care about what people say. We want to be so in love with you. We want to be so adoring of you. We want to extremely honor you in every area of our life, Lord God. But we're so ashamed because we struggle and we're so ashamed of all the things that we know is not right. Jesus says, come as you are. Lord, Paul was persecuting the church. And yet, Lord, you called him and said, come, I want you to be. I want you to write the word. I want you to take my good news. Thank you, Lord, that if you could save Paul, Lord God, we are nothing, Lord. You can save each of us. You know what we've done, and yet you are at the door of our hearts. And you extend grace this morning, Lord, and we want to open our hearts and say, create in us a willing spirit, Lord, so that we can worship you freely, so that we can be free to let your Spirit lead us into all truth, so that we can behold Jesus and want to stay there and behold Jesus and behold Jesus. So that when we fall, that we run back to Jesus, because we know that's the only place where there's forgiveness, there's strength, there's peace, there's joy. Lead us into your life everlasting, Lord, as we come to you, as we worship you, as we lift you up. Teach us this year, Lord, to not just to read and pray, but to really find that place in the Spirit where we worship you, where we adore you, where we lift you up, where we focus on who you are. Say, God, I want to, it's me. Just stand and say, Holy Spirit, take my hand and lead me into a year of hallelujah moments. Lead me into times of worship. Lead me into a place where my eyes are fixed on you, where you are truly more important to me than my own life, my own things, my troubles.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.